thank you for that lovely piece, and let's unite before the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you indeed for this wonderful truth. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Father, we thank you this evening for those of us who already know him as Lord and as Savior. We do sing this truth, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the finished work that he accomplished upon that cross at Calvary. We thank you, Father, that there he shed his blood, that sin could be paid for, put away. And Father, we thank you that in him we are free, we are at liberty. And Father, we thank you for this evening, for this great salvation. We thank you for the message of the gospel. And we thank you, Father, that for each and everyone who listens in, whether in the building this evening or out in their own homes or wherever they might be, we thank you, Father, that this message is for them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the arms of the Lord Jesus are open to all. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we pray that tonight someone, Lord, would come and find rest in Christ and know what it is to be born of God. We ask in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. And while you're turning, could I say my privilege to be with you again this evening. And we just thank Morris for the invitation a few months ago, and my privilege to be here, as I say, and we trust God will bless us and encourage us as we open his word this evening. We're going to read from verse 21 here in Matthew 15, and then the parallel passage in Mark, just a couple of verses. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil or a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the daughter was made whole from that very hour. Keep your place there if you can, but have a wee look, please, at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. Mark 7 and 24. And this is the same account, or rather the same incident, but Mark's account. And just something to one or two things just to highlight as we read this. And from thence he, that is the Lord Jesus, arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. The woman was a Greek or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And you'll notice there, 25, this lady, her great request before the Lord Jesus was that her young daughter would be delivered of this unclean spirit. And you'll notice in verse 24, it all happened in the confines of a house. In the confines of a house. So here we have this incident, which really is quite intriguing. In fact, this passage was first really impressed upon my mind when a number of years ago, I was standing in an open air in Hyde Park Corner. over bank holiday weekend at the end of May. And a little man in the crowd with a skull cap on the crown of his head, who turned out to be of the Jewish faith, he said, "Your master called, or your Jesus called, a woman a dog." What way is that to speak to any woman? And that was his big point. And of course, he thought he had something to say. But a careful reading of the passage is really totally opposite as to what this man was trying to make out. But that was the crowd gatherer as far as he was concerned. This Lord Jesus, who we were making so much of and preaching Son of God, they said, why would he refer to this lady and referring to this passage, this woman, the way he did? And of course, that gathered a crowd, and so the open air went on and we were able to speak to him. But it's quite a significant thing for anyone to say if they've got an antagonism or have got an opposition to the Christian faith and want to undermine Christ. In regards to coming to this passage, I think, the two central characters in the passage are, number one, the Lord Jesus himself, and the other central character is the woman. And I would like this evening to take a number of headings, and we want to look at the Lord Jesus in the passage. And then we also want to look at the lady in the passage, and we'll have a number of headings that are specifically for her. The Bible is a mirror, and as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see ourselves. And maybe there's someone here this evening, and in this lady, in the mirror of God's Word, you will see a reflection of your own heart. Someone listening online, and this lady's here just because she's just like you. The first thing I think we can say in regards to when we look at the Lord, this is a unique event in the Lord's life and ministry. It's unique because this is the first time and the only time that's recorded in the gospel records where the Lord Jesus went out of the boundaries or the coasts of Israel and up to a region that was lived in and occupied by Gentiles. A careful reading will tell you that the Lord Jesus was in Capernaum, and he left Capernaum and he made a journey of some 21 miles that would have taken him to Tyre, and a further number of miles which would have totaled up to 46 miles that would have taken him up to Tyre and Sidon. And there he was for the first time, leaving the place of Galilee where he had performed his miracles and where he had done many wonderful things and taught many wonderful truths, and he leaves and he goes to this place. And these towns of Tyre and Sidon, they're, if you go into the Old Testament, you read about them in 2 Chronicles 8 and 2 Chronicles chapter 2, in the days of Solomon and the king of Tyre, and they were seaports. But whenever you come into the New Testament, they're occupied by the Gentiles. And the Lord Jesus here, this unique event in his life, he goes to this town, and really it turns out it's really specifically that he may have this encounter with this lady. Again, way back in the book of Joshua, this region of Israel had been given to the tribe of Asher. But God's people had strayed and they'd backslidden, and the Jews no longer occupied that region. And it was occupied by pagans and the old Canaanites who originally occupied the land. And this lady is a descendant of a pagan religion, and she worshipped pagan gods, and she wasn't of the stock of Israel. And so it was a little bit the disciples couldn't understand as to why the Lord would be going up there. The distance was a problem, the people were a problem, and of course the Lord was enjoying blessings in the regions where he was. Why go there? Why take the effort? And, you know, we don't know anybody up there. Where will we eat? Or what will we eat? Or where will we stay? But The Lord with purpose makes his way to Tyre and to Sidon. Mark chapter 3 mentions that people from this region had been in Galilee and they had witnessed the miracles of the Lord Jesus. Not this lady in particular, but people from that region potentially had carried messages back there of this preacher from Nazareth who worked miracles and who taught things that no one else was teaching. And so the Lord Jesus makes his way there, and with an element of surprise amongst his disciples. It's a unique event. And when the Lord Jesus arrives, we're told that he entered into a house. That's what we read in Mark's Gospel. It says he came to Tyre and Sidon, entered into a house, and he would not have any man to know it. Keep it quiet. I've arrived. I'm in a house. We don't know how he managed this particular house, but he was there. And the word was just, let's not publicize this over much. And but the Mark tells us in his account, he could not be hid. They couldn't keep it secret. And there was a woman who came in into that house, and her young daughter had been taken with an unclean spirit. And she heard of him, and she comes in the crowd in that house where Jesus was, and she falls at his feet. And this lady is a Syrophoenician, a Canaanite by birth, and she beseeches the Lord, Lord, in mercy, look upon my little daughter, because she's afflicted with a demon. But how this lady approaches the Lord, and Matthew here records it for us, you'll see how she comes, and she's a stranger as far as the disciples are concerned. She may even have been a stranger to everybody else in the house. There could be people walk through that door from Lurgan, and you wouldn't know them. This lady just happened to be there. Nobody seemed to know her. The disciples didn't know her, but she comes and she's heard of Jesus being in the house and she says, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. My little daughter lies at home, afflicted with a demon. This lady, the greatest love in her life was her little daughter. The greatest passion that she had was this little girl who was lying at home, vexed and overcome by this demon spirit. So what does she do? Well, she's quite well aware of Jewish prejudices towards Gentiles. She's very aware that Jews and non-Jews don't mix. Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. How much more Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. And yet, for her daughter's sake, this lady devises a plan in her mind as to how she would come to Jesus that she might achieve her purpose for her little girl. And so she arrives in the crowd and she comes. And a gentleman who I enjoy reading much, a man by the name of Ivor Powell. Ivor Powell says this, she became an amateur actress. She became an amateur actress. And she comes and she presents herself as a Jew. She presents herself by the way that she addresses the Lord Jesus. O Jesus, thou son of, O Lord, thou son of David. What way is that for a Gentile to be speaking to Jesus? What business had she exalting David? David was the king of Israel, and the Israelites had taken their land. The Canaanites had no love for the Jews. The Canaanites, by history and by birth, said, you people came and you put us out. But this lady, she put away all those prejudices. And she comes and she falls down before the Lord, and she says, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, because she loved her daughter. All of these things didn't matter to her. All she wanted was that her little daughter would be healed. But look what it says, and this is where the hinge on which the door swings. Look at verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. He answered her, not a word. A unique event, an uncharacteristic reaction. Can you think, in all of your knowledge of the Gospels, of anyone who came to Jesus with a pleading heart like this, and Jesus ignored them? He answered her not a word. Can you think of anyone? A little girl, suffer the children to come unto me, and Jesus responds as if she's not even there. He answered her not a word. He ignores her crying. And this brings us to the lady. In the Lord, a unique event, an uncharacteristic reaction. But for the lady, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. She was presenting herself to Christ as something that was false. She was coming and she played the part of a Jew because she thought the Jews would find favor with this Jew. She thought if she was a Jew, Jesus would look favorably upon her. If she was of the stock of David, the Lord would reach out and be merciful to her and to her little daughter. And so she comes with her dishonesty and her deceit and putting on a front. And friends, the first lesson in this is this. The Lord has no time for hypocrisy. The Lord sees into all our hearts this evening. And the Lord demands sincerity for those who would come to him. Sincerity. Jesus is not your fool. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And the Lord Jesus Christ is silent to this lady. If she wasn't going to be honest, she would be ignored. You don't do deals with God. You don't bargain with God. You don't try to pull the wool over the eyes of the Savior. And that's what this lady was trying to do. Hypocrite. That's why the Pharisees were so often rebuked by the Lord Jesus. Hypocrisy. A unique event, an unusual reaction, and now we've got hypocrisy. But the disciples, they can't understand what's going on. Look what they say. Verse 23 of Matthew. His disciples came and besought him. That's a strong word. They say, Lord, are you listening? They're pleading on this lady's behalf. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, because she is crying after us. A confined space. This lady won't be silenced. This lady won't be put off. Lord, send her away, because she is crying after us. And then look what the Lord Jesus said. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That answer doesn't seem to fit with what the disciples said. The disciples say, send her away. And Jesus says, I am not sent but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How does those two sentences marry up? Well, very simply. When the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, send her away, this passage is written in original language of Greek. And that Greek word that here is translated, send her away, is used on a number of other occasions in Matthew's gospel. You're familiar with them. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, whenever Joseph discovers that Mary is expecting a child, he was minded to put her away secretly. That's the same word, divorce her, put her away. We can see that. In Matthew chapter 15, when the crowd is around the Lord Jesus, and the disciples say they've been with us all day and they've nothing to eat, send them away to their own homes. That's the same word. But whenever you come to Matthew 27, and Pilate is before the crowd, or the crowd is before Pilate, and Pilate says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus who is called Christ, or Barabbas? That's the same word. Who will you that I release unto you? That's the same word that's here. And you get the same word at the end of Acts, whenever Paul is before before Agrippa, and Agrippa said, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. That's the same word. Set at liberty, release, divorce, send her away. Now, if you were to use the phrase, release her, the disciples say to the Lord Jesus, release her. Give her what she wants. Set her at liberty. And then the Lord says, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That makes sense. And then this woman, there's an arrow strikes down into her heart. And she realizes, he knows me. He's found me out. These disciples didn't know me, but he knows I'm a hypocrite. He knows that I'm not a Jew. He knows that I'm a Gentile. I'm a Syrophoenician. I'm a Canaanite. I've no claim on any promises. I've no right to any blessings. I'm outside the pale. And from hypocrisy now comes honesty. Honesty. Has there ever been a time in your life, friend, when you've been honest with God? As a child, as a teenager, as someone a little bit older? Yes, Lord, I am what you see me to be. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Others might think differently, but Lord, I'm guilty. That's the starting point if a person's going to get right with God or enjoy anything of God's grace. Have done with hypocrisy and be real. Be honest. And then the Lord deals with this lady. Look what it says, verse 24. Jesus says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this lady realizes, he knows. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, three words, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's no, O thou son of David, have mercy upon me. That's not the phrase now. She takes her place in humility before the Lord. And she wasn't fooling anybody now. She's down there at his feet and she's saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need to be saved. I need to get right, Lord. I want you to be merciful. And then the Lord begins to speak to her personally and he begins to work in her life. Her game was up. She was now being honest and real. And then she comes and she says, Lord, help me. And really, she's broken. She's empty-handed. It's like what we say when we sing that hymn. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. That's humility, that's honesty, that's reality. But the Lord Jesus takes this a little bit further. Look what it says in verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet or fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. A unique event, an uncharacteristic reaction, an unusual reply. What sort of thing was that for the Lord to say? It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The word dogs appears 9 times in the whole of the New Testament. 9 times. 5 of those times when the word dog is used, it speaks about the flea-infested scavenger dogs that used to scrape around the rubbish tips. And 4 of those times in the New Testament, the other 4 are to do with household pets, puppy dogs, that lived in households by the rich who could afford them. And the word that the Lord uses here is not the word for scavenger dogs, but rather it's the word for puppies, pets. And the Lord Jesus uses this word, and immediately this lady, she latches on to it. She latches on to it. And she replies to him, Lord, she says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She says, Lord, you're right. I'm worth nothing. I'm unworthy. But Lord, you haven't written me off completely. You, somehow or other, there must be something here even for me. Even the puppy dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And somehow or other, maybe in her heart, she's saying, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You see, she had got to a place where she realized if she was going to get what she wanted, it would only be by grace. It would only be out of the goodness and the love and the mercy of the one who would extend his hand to her. And she says, truth, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. That's taking the place of a sinner. That's realizing that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But it's an eye that looks up to God, who in grace is willing to extend a hand to us and lift us in mercy. And then, not only have we in the Lord's life a unique event, an uncharacteristic reaction, an unusual reply, but look at this, unqualified praise. Look what Jesus says to the woman. Then Jesus answered, verse 28, and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. I deserve nothing. I can earn nothing. But Lord, be merciful to me. That's what salvation is all about. That's why Christ went to the cross, to save people who could not save themselves. Jesus did not go to the cross to help you to save yourself. He did not go to the cross to help you to do 99% and then you add in the last little bit. No, it's all of grace. It's all of God. It's only by faith. You take the sinner's place. You stand with empty hands. And you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, as a gift by faith. And the Lord says to this lady, O woman, great is thy faith. And then she received what she longed for, undeserved blessing. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What she received, but she had to come God's way. She had to come by the way that the Lord says every sinner's got to come, in humility, with honesty, and receive to the Lord, from the Lord, that which only He can give. I can imagine this lady going home. She leaves, as the Lord tells her, great is your faith. Your faith, your little daughter is made whole. And can you imagine her as she leaves that house and goes back down to her own home, and the little girl who she'd left vexed with an evil spirit, she walks into the room and the little daughter's sitting up in the bed. And the little girl says, "Mommy, where have you been?" And her mommy says to her little daughter, "I've just been to see the man who made you better. And you know what? He made me better too. He made me better too." That's what it is when Christ comes into your heart and changes you. He makes you whole on the inside. And this lady found that God's grace was sufficient for her, met her where she was, lifted her, saved her, changed her. And what He did for her, He can do for you. What does it say in the book of Ephesians? "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who worketh in the children of disobedience." And then Paul says a number of other things, and then he comes to verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Pause a moment and look at that cross. Pause a moment and see the Son of God in agony upon a cross for your sins. See Him bleeding, see Him dying. But watch as the darkness comes over Calvary, and in the darkness, Jesus cries out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" On that cross, He bore the judgment of God that you could escape the judgment of God. On that cross, He took your sins and all the punishment that they deserve. He purged your sins. He paid for them. And for everyone who's willing to come with empty hands and put their trust in Him, those sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, by grace, undeserved, unmerited, and Jesus becomes a living Savior in your heart. He died for you. He rose again for you. He's able to save you. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you ever been saved? Have you trusted Him? Do you know Him? If not, this evening, come to Him. He will receive you. He will welcome you. But come as a sinner to Jesus and experience His grace in your life this evening. May God bless His word to all our hearts. Let's unite in prayer before the Lord as we come to a close. Father, we thank You indeed for this, for the grace of God. Father, we thank You for that great truth. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to every man. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for how You went all those miles to these cities of Tyre and Sidon. Thank You, Lord, that You went to that house and there that lady was exposed for what she was. But Lord, we thank You that she left with knowing that she had received and she had enjoyed the grace of God reaching and extended out to her. We thank You, Lord, for everyone who comes in humility and in faith. Lord, we thank you that you do not turn them away. And we pray, Lord, that if there's one, either older or younger, in the building or in their own homes somewhere, and Father, as yet they've never come, we ask that even tonight, Lord, by your grace, you would open their hearts and that they would come, find Christ as Lord and Savior, and know what it is to be wonderfully, gloriously, and eternally saved. We pray in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.